Verse 11 in chapter 61 of Isaiah, and then I'm going to go right into 62, chapter 62, but starting at the last verse in chapter 61 in Isaiah, verse 11. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness therefore go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Amen. Then I want to go to verse 10, and then to the end. Save time, I don't want to read it all. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stories. Gather up the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Amen. God bless this word to the nourishment of our souls tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Abraham went looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He was called out after he was seen of God as a friend, and had faith in God and believed in God enough that he was willing to go when the Lord said, I want you to go to a place without having to know what all that you can expect from here to there. He told him in so many words, I want you to leave everything behind, take your family, and go. And there was no explanation other than just go, and I'll show you. I'll give to you. I'll provide for you. I'll make a way for you, but go. Amen. No details. You know, you're going to have a house, and it's going to be beautiful, and you're going to have a nice dining room set, and you know, and a lot of money in the bank, and just all these beautiful things. You're just going to have all kinds of beautiful things when you get to this place that I'm preparing for you. But it was rather just go, and I'll show you along the way things that are sufficient for you to know. And it's kind of like the journey we're on tonight. I mean, we are a sought-out people. There is a big history in the fact that we're here that has brought us here. I'm not going to go into it. Like I said, I want to make it short. We're going to get out probably early tonight. Well, maybe not, but I think we are. But the history goes way back all the way to the creation of all things. And that would take a long time to tell it. So anyway, I'll make, you know, I'll zoom from the beginning of creation up to creation now. The Creator is still creating. He's still making things happen. He's still seeking out those who will go out. And many times we look for the will of God, and should I go here or should I go there? Or should I, what would be God's will? Would he want me to move over here or move over there? And the truth of the matter is, God just wants us to move with him.
Right.
Amen. And it could be that you could move from where you are to another place where he would have you be and never leave your chair.
Right.
and you can find the will of God. You can come a long ways in just a few minutes. And just surrendering your will to God and say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to leave some things behind. Maybe some attitudes, maybe some ways that you would like to change. Maybe some things that have been difficult, enemies in your life. And just as he said to these people in the historical account of the early people of God, I will cause, just like the earth brings forth her bud, and the garden causes the things that are planted in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. And that's where he wants to bring us to, from where we've been to a place of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He wants to bring us from the valley to the mountain. Hallelujah. From looking down to looking up. From things are bad to things are good. Hallelujah. From the way it's always been to the way that God's going to make it to become. It takes some faith to walk with God. You don't base your relationship and your walk with God on any guarantee of anything other than God's word is true. And sometimes that can be scary, because his word is true, but even though it's true, we get right up to the edge of disaster. We get right up to the edge of impossibility. No way to cross over. No way to get through this wall. No way to conquer this multitude of enemies. There's no way to get from where I am over there to the other side. And God says, trust me. I'll get you there. Amen. I'm glad God is able to do what he says, because I've had a lot of people say, trust me. And people can't always be trusted. But God can be trusted. And I could testify, and this is something else that would take a long time, and I'm not going to do it. But I could testify for a long, long time tonight about how he has brought me because of trusting him many times from impossible situations. I'm talking impossible situations. No way to find deliverance, or no way to get victory, or no way to obtain what I knew his word had promised. But I could testify to you over and over and over and over again that God always keeps his word. Always keeps his word. And when he says, I will make righteousness to spring forth and praise, just like the gardens bring forth what's planted, just like that, when he says it, he means it. Amen. And then he says, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. See, he made certain promises and problems for Jerusalem. For the Jews, he made a lot of promises to the descendants of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all these people that multiplied on the face of the earth and became numerous, millions of them. At times they were being fought and sought out by enemies that wanted to kill them, and they were being tortured and made to work as slaves. But they were always being sought out and brought out. Amen. They were always being rescued, no matter what they would get themselves into. And we can read over and over how that things would go bad and God would cause it to turn around and be good. The lions took lockjaw when Daniel was in the lion's den. Amen. It wasn't that they all had mad cow disease or anything like that. It's just that suddenly God was a God that he'd always been one who will rescue his people. And it doesn't matter what the situation is, if it's not your time to go in the mind of God, you're not going to go. My dad once said, don't talk too much. He says, everybody has so many words, when you get them all said, you die. And I thought about that. Now, I said, Dad, I don't believe it. I said, listen to some of these people talk. They just yak, 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 and they're old. He said, but I promise you, when they get through talking, they're going to die. He said, I promise you, just before they die, they will have said their last word. I didn't understand that for a long time. I'm a little dense. He just said everybody has so many words and then they die. And for a long time, when I was young, I kept trying to, you know, when I was going to talk, I would stop because I didn't want to talk out all my words. But I finally found out, yeah, he did. He meant something beyond what I was understanding. He just meant, you know, there's going to come a time when you will have said everything that you're going to say because either old age or disease or an affliction or something is going to take you out and all your words will have been spoken. But I couldn't understand it. I just thought he meant, you better not say too much or you'll use up all your words and you'll be gone. A lot of people don't understand God when he talks to his children. They don't understand. It's like me as a child trying to understand about using up all these words. And so there are many interpretations about Judaism and the Jews, and you can hear all kinds of opinions about Jerusalem and about promises to national Israel and so forth. And I'm not going to get into all that because that would take another week or two just to discuss the various divisions and opinions about the Jews. There are people that are actually bitter against the Jews because there's so much emphasis on the fact that so many believe certain things concerning these are the true people of God that nobody wants to ever in any way cross a Jew if they're of that mindset. And then there's the other crowd that says they can't be the people of God because the ones that I've met are, you know, they do this, they do that, and, you know, so there's this argument going on because the Word of God teaches us that wages of sin is death, and some of these folks are sinners. And then the controversy comes, and people try to explain it. Well, then there's the Jews that can't be saved, and there are the Jews that can be saved. And then they get into this argument of the unbelieving Jews can't be saved, but the believing Jews can be saved. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Leave the word Jews out of it. This applies to everybody. If you don't believe, you're not going to be saved. Amen. There's no need in getting all this deep theology and getting your mind all bent out of shape. Just let God seek you out and bring you out and cause you to spring forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he's not going to hold his peace. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until righteousness shall go forth as brightness, and salvation as a lamp that burns. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings in the glory, thy glory. And it shall, you'll be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Now this is back in Isaiah. I won't tell you what that name is. I know the name that is new every day. And when you get baptized in Jesus' name, you take on a new name. And there's a new name written down in glory, and it's always Jesus. And it can be yours. Hallelujah. It can be your new name. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, what you've been involved in, God is seeking you out. And you can become part of a city not forsaken. Because the church today is God's sought-out city. And it's really what Abraham was looking for. He didn't know it. And it was impossible because of the span of life. You can't live long enough to do what it was that God was promising Abraham that he would give him. You may wonder, why did God allow Abraham to die before he reached all these promises? Well, the truth of the matter, Abraham saw enough of the promises of God, including a number of descendants that came from impossible circumstances, that I'm sure that you could have never told him that God doesn't keep his word. Amen. Because he saw the miracles of God over and over and over again. But to the natural thinker, there were things that Abraham was supposed to find and supposed to become part of and supposed to see. He was going to be a part of this city. And truth of the matter is, he would have had to still be alive today to be able to fulfill that kind of thinking, because we're part of that city. Amen. This is a city that has been sought out, a city not forsaken. We are the daughters of Zion. Amen. And we have made Zion, or we have made Jerusalem, or we have made the Jews, as we have been grafted in with them to become their brothers and sisters, those that have been brought into the kingdom of God as well as we. We have become part of a royal nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Hallelujah. But God has sought us out. He came looking for us. And then when Abraham was headed out from Ur to go to where God would show him, amen, it was just God preparing a way that would eventually come to us and those that come after us to say, this is my people, this is my city. And now we can read words like go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the Lord, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Look, behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world. Say ye to the daughters of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people. Hallelujah. They're talking about us here in prophecy. They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. You know, when redemption took place, it took place at an old rugged cross. The holy people are the ones that have been filled with the Holy Ghost after the mercy of Christ that has its effect at Calvary in our lives has provided us a way to overcome sin. As many have said, all have sinned. And yes, all have sinned. But I don't like to talk about it, because all have had an opportunity to have sin washed away.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And what's been washed away, why talk about it? It's washed away. I mean, sometimes we might need to, for the sake of others, recall, you know, there was a time when I was going through what you're going through. And I understand what you're going through because I've been there, done that. But now it's all gone downstream and I'm okay now. And you can be okay too. Because Jesus will wash away your sins. Sometimes when people get up and say, well, I'm sin-free, some don't understand it because some of us still have the tendency to reason this out. How can you be sin-free? We're human. Humans are not sin-free. And that's true. However, the Holy Ghost is. God is sin-free. And so when these things are said, we're not meaning that we don't have hang-ups and faults and failures and make mistakes. What we mean is God has made us an overcomer. We're able to have victory over sin, and we're able to put sin out of our life and stand white and clean before God, pure, as clean as it gets, and in the eyes of God, we're sin-free. While others look at it and say, you're not free from sin. I know you're still a sinner. I saw you sin. You didn't do what you said you was going to do. Or you did something that I don't think you should have done, so that's a sin. Well, it's not necessarily a sin if you don't think it should be done. It may be in your mind a sin. I saw you breaking the speed limit. You sinned. I saw you run that red light. You sinned. You get all these judgmental people, and they can send you to hell so quick. Amen. But I'm glad they're not the one that makes the difference. It's God that makes the difference. And He said they should call them the holy people. You can't be holy people unless you're a people who have been delivered from sin people. The redeemed of the Lord. And they shall be called as sought out, a city not forsaken. Now, briefly, I would like to go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. Amen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Okay, it comes just before James. Okay. There it is. Been remembering this ever since I was 8 years old. 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. Okay. Chapter 11, Hebrews. And here's Abraham again that I was talking about. Verse 8. By faith. Everybody say by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. By faith, he obeyed. Everybody say by faith.
By faith.
Obeyed.
Obeyed.
Say it again. By faith.
By faith.
Obeyed. There's a key there that always ensures success. By faith, obeyed. Put your trust in God and obey God. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. He didn't know where he was going, but by faith he obeyed because God made a promise. As in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, we can talk about Jerusalem, but God didn't build that city. That was built by the hand of man. The city whose builder and maker is God is the one that you're part of right now. Hallelujah. He looked for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Here comes a pregnant, almost 100-year-old woman saying, I'm going to have a baby. Sarah, what's wrong with you? Got arthritis?
It's kicking.
You just don't have babies when you're 99 years old. But she did. Because God made a promise. Hey, when God makes a promise, it don't matter what it is. You can have babies when you're 99 years old. Praise God. Wow. Some of you think about that. There might be hope yet. She had a kid when she's past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. That's the key. Believe it and receive it. He promised it. It's true. Hallelujah. Therefore, because she judged him faithful who had promised, Therefore sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now that's a promise God had made to Abraham. He said, look, Abraham, I want to multiply your seed as the stars in heaven are innumerable that you can't count. And like the sands on the seashore, they're innumerable. There's no way to count all the sand on the seashore. That's going to be your descendants, Abraham. I'm going to multiply that. Amen. Now, it would have been possible. It would be possible if somebody cared to go back and research every grave and every site of in history of everything. It might be possible to find all the descendants of Abraham and count them. But it is impossible to find all the inhabitants of the city of God. Hallelujah. It's like looking into the heavens on a clear night and you start to count those stars. You always lose your place. You always lose your place. I've tried it over and over. And I don't care how high you go, there are more. And then you see even where you were looking before, there's one you didn't notice before and a bunch more that you didn't notice before. And they just keep being, wow, I've got to start all over. So you go back, and then when you start all over, then there's more that you didn't notice before over here and over there. There's no end. And then if you would get a telescope, you would find even more. And scientists tell us, I don't know how much they really know, but evidently they know some things, that there are billions and billions and even hundreds of billions of stars filling up billions and billions of galaxies. And we're just in one of these little tiny galaxies. And we can't even get out of ours. We can't even get out of this guy. In fact, it took us as a nation working with all of our minds and all of our intelligence a couple of hundred years to reach the moon. And now we're just trying to make it to Mars, but Mars, when you compare it to how vast our galaxy is, Mars is like going from here to the Salvation Army. It's just a hop, skip, and jump over to Mars, because Mars is really close to Earth. But it's probably going to take longer than I can live for the first person to walk on the face of Mars. And they want to go from there to another place. I don't know if they'll ever make it, but I'm going to tell you something. I have a promise from God Himself that I'm going to have something beyond all of that, that we're going to inherit it. God has called us out, and He said, I have prepared a place for you. Hallelujah. A place where you will never die. You'll never know sickness. You'll never know pain. You'll never know grief. I have prepared a place, and I'm coming to take you there. And we're going to abide forever in my great holy city. Because you're a city sought out, not forsaken. I have not forgotten you, and I promise you, things are going to be better when we get you there. Thank you, Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. So what He wants us to do is just obey Him and believe Him and do it. Just go ahead. And don't know where I'm going, but I know I'm going. I don't know how He's going to get me there, but He said go, so I'm going. And we can get down and we can beat the floor, we can beat the altar, and we can beat the chairs and say, God, show me, show me, show me. I got all these places. I don't know what your will is. Where do you want me to go? Well, I'm telling you, He doesn't love you any less, but you don't have any more special privilege than Abraham did. Or Peter and James and John. Where are we going? Where are we going? Foxes have holes, birds have nests. We don't have a place to lay our head. Where are we going? Follow me. Hallelujah. Just follow me. And they obeyed him, not knowing where they were going. But along the way, the leper says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And right before their eyes, he said, I will be thou clean. And the leprous man was suddenly clean. And they said, wow. They had arrived at a place where only God could take them. Hallelujah. Where are we going? Follow me. And they find themselves going through a storm. Oh, this can't be the will of God. I mean, everything's going wrong in my life. This is just a messed up affair. The building's falling in and the foundation's breaking apart. The walls are just... Everything's flattening out in my life. My whole foundation's been ripped out from under me. What am I going to do? I'm going through a storm. And all of a sudden, here comes the Master. It is I. Be not afraid. Hallelujah. And suddenly they realized they had come to a place as Peter started walking on the water. A place that only God could bring him to. Walking on the waves of the raging sea, Peter fastened his eyes on Jesus and does something that mortal man cannot do. Just as a 100-year-old woman can't have a baby, a Jewish man cannot walk on water. But Peter did. Hallelujah. Peter walked on water. Come. And Jesus just said, come. It wasn't a dialogue that I know about. I didn't read it in the Bible where Peter said, well, how are you going to get me there? I mean, he's holding on to the ship and it's just rocking and the waves are hitting and the wind's hitting his face and he's soaking wet and he's tired and frustrated because they've been trying to figure out what they're going to do. Then they get scared half out of their wits because here comes this figure walking on the sea and they think it's a ghost, you know, and oh my, it's a ghost walking out there on the water. We're going through a storm and now this. So he says, have no fear, it's I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Oh, Master, if that really is you. Oh, God, if this is you, show me a sign. Do something, God. I don't know what to do here. He already said, it is I. Be not afraid. He's already walking on the water. Saying, it is I, be not afraid. I tell you what, if I were in a boat and somebody came walking on the water saying, it is I, be not afraid, I would say, Master, that's you. Hallelujah, I'm coming out there. But you know, I've never had that experience. It's easy to talk about stuff when you haven't had the experience. But when you're really there, it's really happening. And their lives are at stake. And here comes this being on the water, walking in the storm, saying, it is I. Be not afraid. Well, Lord, if that's you, invite me to come out there. Now, I think about this. This man, Peter, even though he invited him, what was different now than a minute ago before he was invited? Because here's still this figure out here on the water. If it's not the Lord, why couldn't he be telling him a lie? Say, come on out here. Just come on. Because if it wasn't the Lord, when Peter stepped out of that boat, he would have gone right under the water immediately. You know, and as I analyze this, I think, you know, it's not going to do any good to say, Lord, if this is you, let me do this or let me do that. Just learn to know the voice of the Lord and go ahead and do it. Because there's really, I mean, after he said, Lord, if that is you, bid me come out there where you are. And he said, come. Come. It was just as much him before he said, bid me come out there where you are. And if it wasn't him before he said that, it still wasn't going to be him after he said, come. Hallelujah. All we got to learn is to have confidence and believe what God's already promised. He had already promised Peter, I'm going to take you some places. I'm going to take you into some places that you've never gone before. And I'm going to be there with you. And when we go through some things, you're going to get through these things. Because I'm going to deliver you through these things. There's no need for this, Lord, if that's you. Let's just remember who it is that we're serving. And it is the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, he was just going through this thing that we all go through. Lord, if it's your will, I'll step out. Is that you? You know, I can ask for the Lord's will and things that I really want to do. And things that make sense to me. I mean, I want to do this, I want to do that. So Lord, if it be your will, let me do this. But usually he gives us something that's his will that just blows our mind. Sarah, have a baby. Daniel, go to the lion's den. Hebrew children, go in the fiery furnace. Don't worry about it. I'll be with you. Paul, go to jail. Jeremiah, go to the dungeon. It's okay. I'll be with you. You're not going to go through any water that I can't walk with you through. You're not going to through any fire that I won't be able to walk with you through. Amen. Church at Norwich, follow me from here to where I'm taking you. Oh, God, I don't know about all this stuff, all these new people, all these folks that's thinking about coming here. They might mess up our pews. Well, I've heard that before. It wasn't here. It was in another place. They might mess up our pews, all those babies, that chewing gum under our new pews. They might scrape our carpet. Or what if one of them puts a scratch on the piano? I don't know about all these new people coming into our church. I'm telling you, if your church is so precious to you, if your church building is so precious that it's hard for you to want people to come into it, you need to go get you a storefront and start all over. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. All right, I'm almost through. Sarah had this baby and received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. And then there came this multitude of people, more just like the stars, just like the sand. And these people died in the faith, not having received the promise. But that doesn't mean God's promise wasn't true. It just means they died in the faith. And we probably will die in the faith also at some point. But that doesn't mean we need to stop having faith. Because God's made us some promises, and even though we die on the way, we're still going to inherit these promises. Hallelujah! What God has promised His people, He's going to take us there. And we get to live our lives enjoying following Him toward that promise. But there will come a time that we will pass over on the other side. And it'll be for some of us, for most of us, maybe all of us, like passing through the Jordan. We go through death, but God will bring us out victoriously. And just as it was impossible to get through that Jordan River, it's impossible to go through death and live again. That's no problem with God. Let's thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them. They saw them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Who wants to think about going back? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Think of where God has brought you from. You want to go back to that? Next time you come to a place where you just can't go any further and you have these thoughts, maybe I should go back to where I was. Hey, don't forget about those other things He brought you through. Hallelujah. Don't forget those other enemies that He helped you fight and destroy. Don't forget after He first brought you out, how that He conquered giants for you. How that He delivered you. How He blessed you. How He made a way for you in the wilderness. Fed you and clothed you and made it possible in the midst of your storms that you could do the impossible. Don't forget that when you start thinking, maybe I should just give up and go back. No. If you want to go back, just go back to the last miracle and just linger there for a while. Hallelujah! Let's praise Him again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm seeking for a country, a better country, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called our God, for He has prepared a city. Hallelujah. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received promises offered up his only begotten son. Abraham had been told, this is your promised son. Sarah's going to have a baby. They had it. His name was Isaac, and God said, kill him. Yeah, I don't understand that God would talk like that. I've heard people say that. Why would He do that? None of your business. God's always right. Our way may not reason this out. We can't figure it out. But God had a plan. He had a plan someday of an only begotten son being offered up. Hallelujah. And already it was in the blueprint of God. When God told Abraham, go take your only begotten son, He was showing the whole world a shadow of things to come. An only begotten son offered up. And when they got right at that crucial point, right at the crucial point where Abraham trusted God and willing to do anything God said because he believed the promise of God, God had brought this impossible son to birth. And now God was saying, I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to seem impossible, but follow me and trust me. It was just God showing. It doesn't matter what it seems like. God can get you past it. Hallelujah. And right at that point, when Abraham was going to take the son of his only begotten son's life, because God told him to do this, it was just showing Abraham his own faith, showing Abraham his own strength, showing Abraham where I brought you to and what I'm going to take you past. Right at that point, an angel of the Lord said, stop, Abraham, God has prepared a sacrifice. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about it. If it seems like it's the wrong thing to do, keep trusting God right up to that point because God has given us a sacrifice. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And through this sacrifice, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. Just as through Isaac, all the nations of the earth were to be blessed. But when this sacrifice, Jesus Christ, was offered on Calvary, it was way beyond anything that anybody could have imagined. All the nations of the earth would be blessed through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yes, they were blessed, and they were a holy people and a royal priesthood and a holy nation, but it was only types and shadows of things yet to come. Hallelujah. The only thing that made it holy is what happened at Calvary. Amen. Then at Calvary, Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, reached back and took everything that had been done, brought it to that tree, and reached forward to everything that shall be done, and brought it to that tree and said, I'm in the midst of thee, my people. Hallelujah. I have brought you to this point, and I'm taking you on. Hallelujah. The middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile was broken down. And the curtain, the the veil in the temple was torn in two. Amen. And it was just signifying that God has made all people equal. Amen. All are counted under sin. What this means, that Jews are not better than Gentiles. Gentiles are not better than Jews. God has counted everybody as somebody that can be sought out, brought out, and included in the plan of God. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. A city not forsaken. Hallelujah. Let's gather around, because now I'm ready to preach. But let's gather around. We're going to have prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, if you're not going to this city tonight, and you're not, if you don't have faith to believe God to take you from here to there, if any circumstance is so important that you can't get the Holy Ghost, or at least seek for it, as seeking for a city that God has built.
Jesus.
If any problem is so important that you can't repent of your sins, and you've got to keep those sins in your life because you just don't know what to expect if you're not a sinner. Look, why be a sinner? You don't have to be. God has said, I'll deliver you from sin. Sin is an enemy. Sin is here to kill you, destroy you, to steal from you. Sin in your life is here to destroy your life and make you not able to inherit the promises of God, other than the promises that you won't inherit the good things. Why not get rid of sin? How do you get rid of it? Believe God. Confess. Acknowledge. Repent. Believe in your heart. It don't mean, not like this little. If you just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ. No, look. Believe in your heart means let it consume your innermost being. I really believe that Jesus shed His blood to take my sins away. I'm not talking about a little sinner's prayer. I know I am a sinner. No, I'm talking about, I know I'm a sinner, but Jesus can set me free. I know that I'm lost, but He will find me. I am sought out, and He will not neglect me. He will not forget about me. I'm seeking for my Master, and He hears me. As somebody said, He hears a sinner out in the sin that cries out, Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, that I might see. Open my ears that I might hear. Help me, Lord, to be not a sinner anymore. That's confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. And that's what brings salvation. Let's praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I know my God will deliver us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 My little sister had polio, and the doctor said she'll never walk again. My dad was crying, praying 3 days on his face, worried. Had done exploits for God, but this was consuming him. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? A man knocks on our door, says, have faith in God. We keep saying that to each other, but we need to have faith in God. Hallelujah. Have faith in God, preacher. God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. He convinced my dad to have faith in God. My dad had been preaching, have faith in God, for years. He'd been preaching all over the country, have faith in God. Then he was discouraged. And a preacher knocked on his door and said, have faith in God. Sometimes we just need to say to each other, have faith in God. Believe God. Take Him at His word. I am thy provider. I am thy healer. I heal you. I have provided healing with the blood that was slain on Calvary. I forgive sins. I will cleanse you. I will set you free. I promise I will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. That little girl was lying paralyzed and lifeless for several days until that preacher came by and said, have faith in God. She couldn't have faith for herself. She couldn't move. She couldn't speak. She couldn't eat. She couldn't do anything. She was paralyzed from head to toe. The preacher said, have faith in God. Don't look on the circumstances. Look at what God can do. Have faith in God. A little group of people in a little humble shack church got down on their knees and started praying that night.
Yes, Lord.
And they were having faith in God.
Yes.
And the next morning, that little girl surprised the doctors and the nurses and all the church people. Hallelujah, at our church. Surprised my daddy, surprised my mama, surprised me. Amen, because somebody had faith in God. I don't know who it was. It might have been a little 99-year-old woman kneeling in a little black church on Catawba Street in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, with feeble hands and feeble knees and rheumatism and arthritis and blinded eyes, saying, oh, God, you see that need in that hospital, and I know you can bring that little girl out of that bed of affliction. Somebody had faith in God, because the next morning she was lying there paralyzed. And the next minute she was standing up in the bed, saying, Mama, can I have a coat? And she jumped off the bed and went running across the hospital room, went out into the hall, and she'd been okay ever since. If somebody hadn't had faith in God, she'd probably still be paralyzed today. But somebody had faith in God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Have faith in God. Where are we going? Follow me. What are we going to do? Let me do it. How are we going to get there? I am the way.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What can we expect along the way? I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Let's thank Him and praise Him one more time.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you repented, been baptized in Jesus' name, and you're seeking for more, don't worry about it. More is there, because God promised. Repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So just believe it and march on. Just believe it and march on. Somebody says, so do you have the Holy Ghost? Say yes. Why? I haven't heard you speak in tongues. So what? Jesus said, I shall. I shall receive it. So whether you hear me or don't hear me, whether you know it or don't know it, whether you can judge me right or judge me wrong, I'm with Him. He said, you shall, and I shall. And if I haven't yet, I shall, because He's going to take me there. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Promises unto you. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, tonight. God, we thank you for the promises of God are true. Hallelujah. God, you cannot fail. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. We thank you for answering. Hallelujah. We thank you for guiding our soul. Hallelujah. We thank you for leading us, Lord, in the paths of righteousness. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, we thank you for it. Mighty God, you can't fail. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord and do good. Amen. Dwell in the land, and verily you will be fed. God bless you tonight. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.